Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from NPR member stations and
Quick Lane Tire and Auto Centers, servicing cars and trucks with factory-trained technicians at locations nationwide. Learn more at quicklane.com. And
the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And
the Charles Hotel in Harvard Square, whose Corbu Spa and Salon features seasonal treatments. Learn more at corbuspa.com. Hello and welcome to Car Talk from Nashville Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Vehiculo Etymology Department here at Car Talk Plaza. Sounds like some kind of an illness.
You may remember that a couple of weeks ago, we were discussing new words.
Remember that? Yeah.
New words that were created by combining existing words to meet an unmet need for expression.
Yes.
For example, one of the best ones was snotsicle. No explanation is necessary. You know exactly what that is.
Yes,
and whoever
do.
Came up with that one is brilliant. Well, some of our listeners came up with some of their own, having to do specifically with cars. There was some guy named Bill. He came up with auto lingerer. An auto lingerer is a husband who stretches out the weekend errands so we can listen to the entire Car Talk show on his car radio.
Not bad.
Cynthia Beebe came up with carcophony. Isn't that good already?
Carcophony. It's
the raucous and irrepressible racket when Click and Clack start to laugh on Car Talk.
Well, someone named Kit from Bakersfield suggested carbecue.
I like it already, see?
A cooked car, right?
A cooked car.
And there's a couple we found that there's a site called witwords.com. This is how we didn't come up with this, I don't know. Fartvergnügen. It's the act of releasing gas in a small German automobile.
How about fratulence? The tendency of brothers to encourage one another in vulgar behavior. Fratulence.
We would never do this.
No.
I like this one, too. A stoptional. It's a traffic stop sign that you choose not to obey. Well, you can or you cannot. It depends on the conditions. It's stoptional.
Here's one. It took me a second to get this one because it looks so much like navigate, but it's nagavate.
Oh, nagavate.
One who incessantly assists with directions in an overly critical manner.
Oh, that's a nagavator.
A nagavator.
And these are two from our staff, because they're always working. They're working very hard.
Yeah.
Guilt casting. And that's endlessly reminding you that the radio station you're listening to requires donations to stay in business.
And I liked automatopoeia.
Yes.
Automatopoeia. Trying to make the noise your car makes so you can get on Car Talk.
Well, look, if you have a question about your car or any suggestions for new words that we might incorporate into the show, because we're always looking for things to help us out, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. How are you? This is Vanessa Nagel calling from Middletown, Connecticut.
Hi, Vanessa.
Middletown, Connecticut. How well I know it.
How's that?
I went to Wesleyan University.
That's right next door.
Well, for an hour.
Are you a student, Vanessa?
No, I'm not a student.
Okay.
Nope. I've done my share of studying. I'm done.
Good for you.
You're done. Well, you sound youthful.
Then why are you in Middletown, Connecticut, which, according to people I know, has nothing?
Yeah.
I mean, did you move there from somewhere else?
I moved there from Manchester, Connecticut.
Oh, that explains a lot. Okay.
Okay, I give up. What's up, Vanessa?
Well, I'm calling about my beloved 93 Pontiac Sunbird.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, when I am shifting into a new gear, when it's at the low RPMs of the new gear, right when I shift in, there's a rattle, and it does like a Like a high-pitched rattle, kind of like that.
Is it a tinny rattle? Like, does it sound like a...
A paper clip in a coffee can rattling around.
Kind of, like yes. Yeah. And it's, okay, again, it yeah. doesn't continue. It's for like a second or two at the most.
And I bet you, if you checked, you would find it at the same RPM whether you were in second gear, third gear, fourth gear.
Yes.
So if it were occurring at like 2,900 RPM.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you sure of that answer, Vanessa? Because that puts us on a completely
no,
different tack.
Not me. Not me,
not you,
baby.
But me, baby.
Not me. Well, I don't have any idea what it is, so it isn't putting me on a different track. No. Without exaggeration, we've answered this question 25,000 times. You have a loose heat shield.
A heat shield, okay.
On your exhaust system.
Uh-huh.
It's possible that one of the heat shield welds is broken, and what you're hearing when you hit a certain RPM is what's called a sympathetic vibration.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And this thing is going, and then if you give it more gas or less gas, it goes away immediately.
Correct.
If the vibration had any sympathy, it would stop doing this.
It would. But you're going to have to make it stop by taking it into your shop.
Okay.
And take the person around for a ride.
Okay.
And make it make the noise, and they'll know immediately what it is.
If it happens that you discover that it's not true that you what you just said to my brother, that it happens at the same RPM every time.
Yeah. You think she'd lie?
she said she thought so. But I'm sure that she never really consciously thought of it before. If you find out that it's happening at different RPMs,
sure,
depending on what gear you're in, it's possible that your timing is off.
Oh, okay.
And I would ask you to try climbing a hill with the car, but there aren't any hills anywhere near Middletown that I know of.
Yes, there are. So I live on a hill.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Do you notice that it's worse coming up the hill?
I can't say that. I'll have to check.
You have to.
She can't say that, but you notice she did say
she did
it
say,
occurred
yeah.
at the same RPM, no matter what gear she was in.
In which case, my brother is right, and it's the heat shield.
All right.
See you, Vanessa.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for
okay.
your call.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK, as I said earlier, 888-2-278-2555.
I got it.
Or 255, so I don't confuse anyone. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey, my name's Eddie. I'm from Tilton, New Hampshire.
T-I-L-T-I-N, like the Tilton Hilton?
No, like T-I-L-T-O-N.
Oh, okay.
And what I have is a 1985 Ford F-150 pickup.
You didn't have to tell us you had a pickup. You said you were from New Hampshire. All you had to say is Ford, and we didn't know.
Oh, okay. Well, it will start and run fine. And then the next day I get in it, and I turn the key, and I get nothing. I mean, I'm lucky to get a battery light sign come on, or it's like the battery's gone.
Yeah.
I checked the battery, and it wasn't in the greatest of shape, and I put a new battery in, and the same thing. It would start and run fine, and a couple days later, nothing. So I cleaned all the terminals, the hookups, as far as I could find, you know, to the starter,
yeah.
to the ground, to the solenoid. I even took the solenoid out and had that tested, and a mechanic told me that it was good, and I put it back in. And cleaned those terminals and the ground to the firewall and all, and put that back in. And again, it wouldn't start.
You turn the key and nothing happens.
That's right.
But sometimes the lights on the dash light up.
Just one light, the brake light.
Does anything else work? Have you tried the wipers, the lights, the radio?
They all work.
And then how do you get it started when that happens?
I jump it from the positive terminal of the battery to the positive side of the solenoid with a jumper cable. And it turns right over and starts up.
Okay, so we know that the battery's good.
Oh, so the battery's fine.
The starter is good.
Yep.
We know the alternator's good.
And that's why you replaced the solenoid. Good thinking, Fast Eddie.
This is an automatic transmission truck?
Yes, it is.
Ha! How did I know that?
I know how you knew that.
How did you know that?
Let me just make sure that it doesn't click, it doesn't do anything.
Well, when I have the older battery in there, and I would start it, the solenoid starter would click away. And then it would start.
Okay, yeah. But now when it doesn't start, you hear nothing. Is that true?
True.
Then my brother's right.
You have an automatic transmission.
You have an automatic transmission.
Well, what all automatic transmissions have is something called a neutral safety switch.
Neutral lockout on the column.
Which prevents you from starting the car in any gear other than park or neutral.
Yes.
Except yours has a unique feature. It's preventing you from starting it, period.
Have you ever put it into neutral to try to start it?
And jiggled the shifter.
It gets locked.
No, but when you turn the key to the on position,
yeah,
it's unlocked. And then you should be able to move the shifter to neutral.
Oh, into neutral.
Into neutral.
And then try it, and I've done that, and I still get nothing.
Did you bang the dashboard? Did you kick the seats?
No, I've been very nice to this truck. I have not kicked it. I have.
It sounds like a classic case of a neutral safety switch, because you're simply not getting juice from the battery to the starter. The solenoid was a possibility, a good possibility, but if you replace that and it's still doing the same thing.
But you jump it and you tested it.
Right.
Yes.
What you've got to determine now is when you turn the key to the crank position, if juice is getting to the skinny wire on the solenoid, if the solenoid's getting energized.
Because it's either, in this case, the neutral safety switch or the ignition switch itself.
Okay.
But it's the neutral safety switch, I believe.
But if I get power to the solenoid, to that thin wire...
When you're in the crank mode, then...
When I have the key turned over.
That means it's not the ignition switch.
And it's not the neutral safety switch. And in that case, it's the solenoid.
It's the solenoid.
Yeah, the solenoid only costs $7. You might as well try one of those first.
All right, maybe
Or if you really trust yourself, you can bypass the neutral safety
switch.
It's a very dangerous thing to do.
But in New Hampshire, you'll find anyone to do that for you. I shouldn't have said that. That was cruel
that
and
was
unwarranted.
Cruel. It wasn't unwarranted, but it was cruel.
See you, Eddie.
Okay, guys.
Hey, good luck, Eddie.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Stefan from Brooklyn.
Stefan?
Yeah.
Stefan?
What's up, man?
I'm calling because... My car, which is the chief car for my business, which is the Unemployed Philosophers Guild.
Yeah.
It has a peculiar problem.
What kind of a car is it?
It's a Volkswagen Golf.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it actually used to cause tremendous amounts of grief. It would break down constantly. And I discovered a temporary solution to the problem, which is that I'd be driving along and suddenly black smoke would come out the back and it would stall. And then when I would pull the heat sensor out, it would start up and it would run perfectly without the heat sensor in.
What heat sensor? The coolant temp sensor?
Yeah, the coolant temperature sensor.
The thing under the hood.
Right. So I'd pull that out and then the car starts to run fine. And then every once in a while, as I'd be cruising down the highway, it would stall. And then what I do is I leave the car in gear and I turn the engine off. And so it would just sort of coast with it in gear.
Yeah, I got it.
And then when I turn the engine back on, it runs fine. And it'll run fine for 15, 20 more minutes. And then I'll have to repeat this process. So I wonder if I'm destroying my car by doing this.
I often wonder how people come across these little tricks.
Yeah, whatever made you pull off the coolant temp sensor wire? I mean, why not some other wire?
It seemed obvious.
It seemed obvious.
I can't explain it, but it just
Stefan,
seems
you
clear
may be a genius.
Stefan, someone with your ability shouldn't be unemployed.
Wow. I mean,
you haven't considered replacing this coolant temp sensor.
I have. I've replaced it, and there was no difference.
Yeah.
So it isn't the coolant temperature sensor. And I brought it into Volkswagen on three separate occasions. And though when I got the car back, it was fixed for maybe a couple of days, it always reverted.
Yeah. See, my theory on this is that whenever someone comes up with this strange little cures, temporary cures like this one, like the ones you came up with, either the person is a genius or a complete wacko.
And right now, you're right on the fence.
I'm leaning toward wacko now. Although I admit, I started out thinking you were a genius.
Well, there's a very fine line.
There is.
There really is.
There may not be any line.
Right. You may have crossed back and forth three or four times already.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because I don't think either one of these things that you do has any bearing on the problem.
Oh, you're absolutely wrong. You're entirely incorrect.
Well, I mean, I don't know about the stopping the thing in gear. I can't figure that out. Pulling the coolant temp sensor wire may have something to do with something, but it may be forcing the computer to go back into some limp-in mode, which is more likely to be correct than the run mode. Okay, you need someone to...
I think that that's right.
I think that that's... Thank you.
I have a theory as to why turning the car off.
I knew you would.
My feeling is the problem is that there's a... The gas flow is incorrect, and when I pull the coolant sensor, it changes the mix of the gas.
That's right.
Well,
that's because it puts the computer into the limp home mode.
Okay, but then when it stalls, suddenly it's burning too rich, and the engine is flooded.
Yeah.
And by leaving the engine on with the car off, it somehow cleans out the cylinders.
Okay.
You think that that's right?
Not really.
No, but, I mean, it's... You've clearly done some thinking about this.
You have done some thinking.
And it's not bad thinking, I have to say. It's not completely wacko. Not, you have to admit, it's not completely wacko.
I want to work my way back to genius.
Well, you're still on the line.
I think you have a bad thermostat.
But that's the one that I changed already.
No, you changed the coolant temp sensor.
Oh.
Oh.
The thermostat is the thing that actually controls the temperature, and the thing that you change simply measures what the temperature is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Could it be a ground wire?
It could be a ground wire. You know, there are a bunch of little grounds that connect to the cylinder head.
Yeah.
Any one of those can cause, if it's making a bad connection, can cause the thing to run lousy.
Yeah.
But you could change, you could clean those ground wires.
Okay.
You can change the thermostat, or you can have it checked to see if, in fact, the thermostat is really opening at the right temperature. And when that doesn't work, I think the problem may be in your computer.
Yeah.
But you have to go to a different Volkswagen dealer. And I would recommend that you don't tell them anything about yourself when you go in. Yeah. Or what you've
They're
done to it.
They're just taking advantage of me.
Well, no, it's always bad to tell them what you've done so far.
And don't mention your theories to them either.
No, because right
away. Let them figure it out right from scratch.
Yeah, we have a little code that we use at our shop, and when someone fills out a repair order, there are all kinds of little boxes, like who filled out the repair order, when promised, time promised, and there's another little box that has no label, but we have various codes, and one is we use a W for wacko. When we have someone that's a wacko, we put a W in that box because no matter what you explain to them, they're not going to believe it. So you may be getting the W code.
I never gave that one any thought.
See you, Stefan.
Thank you.
Hey, good luck, man.
Thanks.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's time to discuss the answer to last week's puzzle.
Yeah, last week's puzzle.
I'll tell you what. I'll bet you $100 you didn't get the answer.
Yeah? You're on, Piston Puss. 100 smackaroo.
$100, okay. What was it?
I said I got it. I didn't say I remembered it.
Can't trust this guy. Can't trust
I ain't paying.
Well, we'll be back with more of your calls and the answer to last week's puzzler in just a minute, so don't go anywhere. I need a car that a guy could write a song about. Something that'll look real cool while I'm peeling out. I need a hot rod Lincoln or a dino float. Rocket 88, a little GTO. I need a car that'll make me feel like BB King. I need something that'll really make the tires sing. I need a black Cadillac with a condensed fan. My girl beside me with the wind in her hair. I need a car that'll make me feel like BB King.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from our Mechanics Posture Program, working to eliminate knuckle-scraping injuries in the auto industry in our lifetime. From NPR, NPR member stations, and
the Union of Concerned Scientists, putting science to work for a healthy environment and a safe